Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the art of dreaming, doing, and serving. Today's summer series episode is all about hospitality, what it means to God, how Blake and I do it in marriage, and this call that I've felt on my heart to just share the very thing that I feel like God has gifted me with. It is something that comes secondhand and second nature to me. And so I just want to share a little bit about my encounter with the scripture and what that means to God as far as hospitality. There are tons and tons and tons of verses throughout the Bible that point to God's heart for hospitality. I'm just going to share a few and then share about our marriage, Blake and I, how we step into hospitality through faith, and then just a few things that God has kind of called us to in this season of life. So first and foremost, I'm your host, Lexi Bozarth. Thank you so much for tuning in. If I didn't say that already, I am currently 37 weeks pregnant, but if you're listening to this summer series, I have my little girl in my arms, and I'm probably taking a break from social media, so you are listening to a pre-recorded episode. So that's fun. So let's talk about God and how hospitality fits into scripture. Jesus often met with people over meals. He loved doing life around a table. From asking Zacchaeus to take him to his house to the Last Supper with the disciples, we have a lot to learn about community and hospitality from the way that Jesus lives his life. A few verses that I found that stood out to me were Isaiah 58:7. It says, "It is not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh." This is just a reminder that we are called to bring the lost and lonely into our homes. I think that today's day and age, it's really scary to think about bringing a stranger into our homes. Obviously, we have little kids. We have things that are preventing us from just taking this leap of faith and bringing someone into our homes. And obviously, we need to do it prayerfully. But it is a convicting scripture because it is saying to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. And when we get to heaven, Jesus isn't just going to say, "I'm so glad you knew the scripture by heart." He's going to say, "What you did for the least of these, you did for me." And that is so convicting. It's not meant to guilt us into making decisions that are uncomfortable, but I think that sometimes we find a life of comfort even as Christians. And what this is telling us, and what it's preaching and telling me, is that I have to get out of my comfort zone of my day-to-day interactions and be willing to see the people that need Jesus and need me to be Jesus. And then another scripture is 1 Peter 4:8-9. It says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling." I love that these two things are together, talking about showing hospitality and loving people earnestly, because it covers a multitude of sins. I think that something really special happens in our homes when we're willing to open up our doors and have conversation. Let's just take the political world for a second and just dissect that. We in the US of A are just really polarized right now, more than I think we've ever been, when it comes to party lines. And what people do is get on Facebook or Instagram and they share their opinions about policy on Facebook. And then they get in arguments and they throw around really harsh terms about the other parties, and it just becomes a really hostile environment because people are A, a lot more bold behind a screen, and B, they're not looking into someone's eyes and really wondering what the other person has encountered to bring them to that conclusion. So for me, I've had so many incredible conversations with people that have sat in my kitchen, in my living room, to talk about why they believe the things they believe. And I love when I'm sitting in front of someone who doesn't think or act or dream the way that I do, because I can learn from them. And I don't think that God just wants us to be black and white, because I don't think that a lot of love can happen in a black and white world. I think he wants us to push into the gray. I think he wants us to take a stance on truth, absolutely, but also to be willing to be in the company of people that think, feel, believe differently than us. So like I said, when we get to heaven, Jesus isn't just going to say, I'm so glad you knew the scripture by heart. He's going to say, what you did for the least of these, you did for me. And that is convicting. So for Blake and I, we got married almost 3 years ago. And, one of my favorite days on our honeymoon is we just took some time to dream together. And one of the things we dreamt up was doing a weekly pizza night. We would host friends over at our house. We would have a open invite from friends to strangers to people we met at networking events and just say, come on over Friday night, we're making pizza, you're welcome to bring toppings and we'll provide the dough and the cheese and the sauce, whatever. So it just kind of became a tradition and something that we were kind of known for in our community. And it was just such a fun season of life until our little guy came around, and it happened a lot less frequently. But what it just taught us was that it doesn't have to be a formal setting of a small group or a life group or even people that, like I said, believe or think the same way that we do for us to learn about our Savior. I think sometimes it's opening our home to people that think differently than us, and we were really blown away by the way that God blessed those nights. And it wasn't anything, we didn't have an agenda on what we were going to talk about. We just loved on people. And I think that so often we can get in our heads about how to be Jesus's hands and feet. And sometimes we overthink it and then we never do it. And so just open your doors, let them fly open, invite people over for dinner. And our family mission statement is all about hospitality and generosity. And so think about your family. What does your family stand for? What do you want to provide for the kingdom? What's God calling you to? And then on the flip side, Blake and I have also been able to step into hospitality in a way that makes extra income for us through Airbnb. I've been an Airbnb host for, I believe, 4 years now, have over 750 reviews, and it's just such a fun way to extend hospitality. It allowed me to make extra income, allowed me to travel. And then when Blake and I got married, we bought two adorable homes right next to each other. And they are just such great little Airbnbs. And we've been able to host just hundreds of people in those. And it's just been a really fun experience to show people our city through our eyes and our experience. And we have a website called welovechattanooga.com. And if you want to come stay with us, we would love to have you. Go to the visitors button or visit button and check out our Airbnbs and book your next trip to Chattanooga. So that was a shameless plug on the topic of hospitality. But it's really neat how God has kind of used it to not only be a blessing to people in the way we minister to people, but also a way that we make an income. So moving on to some tips, let's talk about hospitality. I know it can be hard to open your doors when you feel like your house isn't clean enough, or you feel like it's not decorated the way you want it to be decorated, or you think that your friends have a bigger house or a nicer house, or whatever those lies are that the enemy's trying to do to tell you to keep you from opening your doors. Don't listen. Just let those doors fly open. And I promise you, you will be so blessed. And you can kind of, hospitality is one of those things that if you're not a great cook, it's okay. Like, do takeout, do pizza, do, pop a frozen lasagna in the oven. As long as people, you've asked your guests if anyone has a food sensitivity, because we're in 2019 and everyone has something that they don't eat these days. Just be welcoming. I don't think it's about the perfect meal or the perfect tablescape or the perfect decor or the perfectly clean house. I think it's about the conversation and about the way that you make people feel. And so when you let them into your homes, it's letting them into your heart. And that sounds super, super cliche, but I'm telling you, it is so true. And people feel most loved when you ask them questions and when you give them tasty things to eat. And if you do those two things well, that, my friend, is going to put you in a really good place when it comes to hospitality. So hosting on a budget. One of the ways that you can do that is host a potluck or a barbecue and just have people pitch in, bring your own beer, bring your own meat. I know a lot of people that will provide the meat and then they'll have people bring sides, or they'll provide all of the sides and they just ask people, bring whatever kind of meat you want if they're grilling. For us with pizza night, that was a really easy way to keep the cost down. We just bought dough from Publix, which is a southeastern chain of grocery stores. If you don't have a Publix near you, you are not living your best life. Sorry. But Publix has dough that you can buy, and we just buy sauce and cheese in bulk from Costco. And it's just really, really fun and easy and cheap. And we just ask people to bring toppings and whatever they want to drink. Another really cheap thing that I know friends that do is spaghetti. Spaghetti is Italian, just seems to be a pretty, pretty cheap food to make. Another option is brunch. If you want to do a Saturday morning brunch or a Sunday after church brunch, people can kind of pitch in for, you can do French toast, you can do egg bakes. Breakfast food tends to be pretty cheap as well. Another thing is dessert. If you want to just not commit to a whole meal and it just terrifies you to provide food for people, then just do an after dinner thing where people go out and grab drinks or whatever, and then they come to your house for dessert. But all of these are really simple ways to do hospitality on a budget. And kind of moving on to a weird and odd different kind of subject is co-living. So co-living just means that people that are not your kids or your spouse live with you. And so for Blake and I, ever since we got married, we've had people living with us, whether it's a month or two, or we've had his sister live with us for a little over a year while she was in grad school. And for us, it's just, some of it has been people that have paid like a discounted rate for rent. And then some of it has just been a way to bless people. And if you have a spare bedroom, I highly recommend just having someone live with you for a season. I think that it's great for community. It's great for learning our own sin because we are sinful people, and we live, the way we live is very particular to us and how we grew up and our preferences. And when we invite someone else that's not our spouse or not our kids, people that we don't necessarily love unconditionally all the time, live in our house, it can kind of spark tension. And I say that to tell you, like, this is a calling that some of us have on our lives, whether that's having someone live with you that's in college or doing ministry and they can't afford a place to live, or if it's a sibling of yours that is younger than you and they're in school or they're working towards something, or if it's foster care or adoption, that's a more permanent co-living situation where you've now adopted someone into your family, or a friend facing divorce, or a single mom, or even like I said, a family member. These are all different opportunities to serve people in our home. And if you don't have the budget to allow someone to live for free, you could do a discounted rate, or it could be something that helps provide income for your household. Or if you're like me in this season, I've had some people live with us that their responsibility was to kind of help out around the house and help out with my little guy. And that was a huge blessing. So they got a place to stay. And then in return, they were just willing to help out around the house, which was really, really wonderful. So if you're thinking, that's absolutely crazy, I'll never do it, fine. If you're like, I'm intrigued, reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you about co-living. I'm really passionate about it. And I think that living in community is just such an incredible opportunity to step into what God has for us and goes hand in hand with hospitality. So some of my tips I have with that, have boundaries. I think it's so important to know your boundaries as far as like a timeline, setting clear expectations, knowing when the season is up, and not overcommitting. So if someone is in grad school for, let's say, 3 to 4 years, do a semester at a time. Don't overextend yourself because your life and their life might look very different a couple years from now. And then be okay with a trial period. Like I said, give it a semester, especially if you don't know this person really well. Maybe you love them when you're hanging out with them at the coffee shop, but having them in your home could be a total disaster, and you want to just make sure that you've got some kind of like a trial period in good terms. And then there's no hard feelings if it doesn't work out because it's the end of the trial period and you both kind of go your separate ways. But if it does work out, it can be a such a huge blessing to your family. And just kind of to wrap this all up in a non-beautiful bow, sometimes hospitality is inconvenient. But making room for people is not about our own comfort. If you listened to last week's episode, it was all about fear and not fearing and being courageous and being bold. And I think that this goes right along with that because the world tells us to stay comfortable, to do things only that make us comfortable, do only things that make us, that we feel like we can afford, and don't let anyone too close to us, not even our spouse, not even our kids. Our world tells us you have to protect you first and foremost, which is why we see so many divorces, and then you can care for other people. But God's kingdom is so different. He wants us to lay our lives down for the people around us, and He wants us to serve. And so, like I said, hospitality is not comfortable. It's not something that's easy. Sometimes it brings up fears and sins in ourselves of selfishness, but it's so worth it. And it's taking something that is ours and offering it to someone else. It's taking what God has given us, and which is not truly ours anyways. Everything we have is His, and offering it to someone else. And that is kingdom, kingdom-minded living. Yeah, that's what I'm going to say, kingdom-minded living. So I am so thankful for this opportunity just to share with you all a little bit about hospitality, what it means to me. I could talk so long about it, all the benefits of opening our doors and opening our hearts and doing life alongside other people. But I'm going to wrap it up because I'm getting extremely toasty right now. It's summer and I have an extra 30 pounds on me right now. So ladies, you are infinitely valuable. You were created with a unique set of gifts, skills, and talents created by God for His purpose and His glory. Go be His hands and feet to this broken world and open your doors so that someone else can experience the love of Jesus. Get it, girl. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Summer Series. If you loved this episode, make sure to review, subscribe, and share with a friend. Have a great summer.